Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Welcome to all my returning listeners, and especially welcome if you're new today. So the summer is almost over. How sad. And I'm sure many of you are preparing to go back to school. You're preparing your kids for going back to school. Maybe they're starting secondary school. Or are you preparing to go to university or back to university? How exciting. It's a sad when the summer ends, but it's such an exciting time for the start of a new chapter, the start of a new school year. I remember it always used to be quite exciting going back to school and seeing all your friends. Not so exciting on the work front, but hey ho, it will be over soon. So one of the things that's going to be happening over the next 8 episodes is that I'm going to be starting a mini series. For those of you who are regular listeners, you might have heard me mention that I'm going to be talking to allergy kids and doing a little mini series on the podcast. Well, the time is here and it's going to be starting next week. How exciting. Over September and October, I will be talking to allergy kids of all ages. I'll be asking them all about what they think it's like having allergies. Now, the reason I started this and wanted to do this little project is because I talk to a lot of allergy parents. A lot of you parents get in touch with me and you're worried about the quality of life your children might or might not have. And I wanted to interview the kids and kind of show you what their view is, because yes, as a parent, you're going to be able to see a lot further into the future, but also you're going to be much more worried than your allergy kids are. And I wanted to interview kids of all ages. So, I mean, the youngest I've got on the show, I think, is 4 years old. And I've got kids of 10, 9, I've got some teenagers, and I've even got some grown-up allergy kids too. And the whole point of doing this series is that I wanted to show you that allergy kids can do more than just survive with their allergies. They can really thrive. And I wanted to prove it to you. And I wanted to prove that you can do it. You can raise a confident allergy kid, but also that your kids are going to be fine. And any allergy kids who are going to be listening to the series, I hope you enjoy and, you know, make some new friends. So that's what's going to be happening over September and October. I'm really excited to start publishing. I've started collecting these interviews since I think I started back in May or April. It's been quite a while, so I'm really excited to get this published. You had a little teaser back when Karen, whose boys, her twin boys, one has an allergy but one doesn't, and they came and talked to me, and one of the little boys had written a book. So the link to that episode will be in the show notes, because I didn't put it in my notes to say this, but I should have done. So go to the show notes page and there'll be a link to the episode of what 2 9-year-old boys can teach you about allergies. So yeah, firstly, I want to thank all the allergy kids, teens, grown-up allergy kids and allergy parents for helping me make this podcast series. And I really love talking to all of you, and I hope all you listeners enjoy listening to the stories that they've got to tell as well. I'm going to be asking, you'll be hearing lots of different things. You'll be hearing about their experiences and talking about how they stay allergy safe, how they tell their friends about their allergies. And this is kids of all ages, and they all do tell their friends about their allergies. They're going to be telling me about their favourite foods, their hobbies, and some of their allergy wins as well. So that's what's in store from September. That's next week's episode. But today, I thought, as a little introductor, a little teaser, I would talk to you about what it's like to be an allergy kid from my experience and the positive effects it's had on my life, like why allergies have actually been one of the best things that's happened to me. So I'm going to start at the beginning, and then I'm going to get round to where I am today. Kind of like the same format as I usually do with everyone on the show, except I haven't done it with myself. So when I was young, I always knew I had an allergy. And I'm talking, you know, really little, probably 4 or 5. I don't really remember so much when I was 3 and when I was in playgroup. I probably had some idea, but I don't really remember that far back. And I always knew I had an allergy, but it wasn't really a big deal. I knew that there were things that would make me sick, and I knew that I was not to eat things I was not sure of. And that's one of the things my parents always made sure that I knew I could say. And they always, you know, always made sure that I knew I could say no to an adult. And that was a very big thing for me because, you know, when I was little, I was a little bit shy. Like I never wanted to do the wrong thing. I never wanted to disappoint my teachers. I really respected the role of a teacher, of an adult, and kind of, I think, the size difference as well. When you're like 4 years old and an adult is so much bigger than you. I really respected that. I was one of the good kids, the ones that weren't. I just did what I was told when I was told to do it. But so my parents always made sure I knew I could say no. And that was a really big confidence booster for me. But they didn't freak me out. My parents never freaked me out about my allergy. And I think it's because they always handled it as it's normal. It's just one part of your life. It's just something we have to deal with, and we're going to deal with it. And this is the way we have to deal with it. So I never was afraid. Not unless I'd eaten something that might have nuts. But even then, I think as I got older, I got more afraid. And that's more to do, I think, becoming an adult and learning and understanding what ramifications could be, the risks that there are. So I think it's better to be more scared as an adult because you've already known that you could deal with it as a child. And if you could deal with it as a child, you can deal with it as an adult. So my parents not freaking out about my allergy was really big, because when I was in school, I didn't freak out about it. I mean, there would be kids, like all the time, kids would, you know, make jokes or think it's funny to be like, oh, we'll just feed you some nuts. And I never found it funny, obviously. But I didn't freak out about it. I just ignored them. They were usually stupid boys. And, you know, kids are a little bit stupid sometimes because they just don't have that life experience. So one of the things that also I was very lucky when I was in primary school, actually, was that I did have an allergy buddy. There was another girl in the school who had anaphylaxis to nuts, so peanuts and tree nuts. We had slightly different sensitivities, and so I think she was more allergic to almonds and hazelnuts than I was, and I was more allergic to Brazil nuts and peanuts. But it was quite nice, and I think that was a confidence booster for me. I had quite a lot of fun being in primary school because we got the best treats if there were prizes or, you know, on a school trip or something like that. And I did go on school trips. I always got the nice treats and the nice food because the ones that were branded and just better usually were the ones that didn't have warnings on them. And obviously school wasn't going to take that risk with 2 children. I also, you know, I knew where my EpiPens were. That was one of the things that I always knew how to use. I knew how to use my inhalers. And I remember, I have a memory of, I can see it now. I was about 4 or 5. I was in primary school in reception. So my first year. And I think I needed my inhaler. I don't remember why. I was having some sort of wheeziness. And I knew I needed my inhaler. So I knew where my medical bag was in the classroom, because it was in the classroom with me, and the class aid teacher came with me, and I put my spacer together. I put my inhaler in, and I knew how to use my inhaler, and I knew when I needed it. So I think that was just a part, and I don't remember being scared, I don't remember being upset, I just remember I knew how to use my spacer and my inhaler, and I knew when to use it. And I think that's really important as well. And it also came from the fact that my parents didn't freak me out about it. It was just, okay, you're wheezy, you need your inhaler, and then you'll feel better. And I did all the time. So, I mean, I'm sure many of you know that when you take your blue inhaler, you feel better. And it's still the same now when I need it. So when I went to secondary school, obviously it's going to be a bit different to primary school. And you're a bit more independent. You're expected to be a bit more independent. The school's a bit bigger. You're moving around classrooms and things like that. Now, I chose a school actually that was still quite small, about the same size as my primary school, just because I liked it better. I didn't want to go to a huge school, but that was fine. And my parents and I, you know, we still went through the same process as my parents talked to the school, explained about my allergies and things like that. And then when I got to school, I was told, well, instructed by my mum, I was to go see the nurse and say hello, to introduce myself, give her my my medical kit, which stayed in the nurse's office. I think I took around an EpiPen with me. So one was in the nurse's office and one was with me. I can't remember if I did that all the way from 11 or if I did that slightly later. Yep, told my classmates. And I just made it normal because it was normal to me. I can't remember how I told them, but it definitely came about. And my birthday, actually, I was the oldest in my class when I was in my first year of secondary school. So my birthday was first. And because of that, I think, and also the kind of getting to know each other exercises, I just included that I have a life-threatening allergy to peanuts and tree nuts. I have a nut allergy. It was just one of the things that I introduced first. And I think doing that, being upfront about it, I made it normal. And then my friends just accepted it. And I think kids are great because they do accept other people's differences much more readily than adults do. And so long as an adult doesn't influence or make a comment that might influence another child's view on it, they'll just be like, okay, you have an allergy. All right then. And then that you as an allergy sufferer just goes and educates those who don't to make it safe for you. So my birthday was great. I had a nut-free cake. My friends brought in a cake for me, I think, or I brought it in, or my mum made it. I can't remember. And, you know, we had a great party in my classroom in the morning. And I think that's one of the things that you really realise when you go through school. Good friends respect your needs and your wishes like you would to someone else. It's just with an allergy, there are health consequences should they not. But that's okay because as an allergy sufferer and as a parent of an allergy sufferer, you're going to teach your kids where the cross-contamination issues can happen. You're going to teach them to be very aware of what's around them and how people act around food and around you. And that is going to be a lifelong skill. That is going to be something that what you as maybe an allergy parent does, you know, a helicopter mum, I think the phrase is often used, when you're watching everything like a hawk, your child is going to pick that up and it's good. But they're going to be able to watch and just be in the group, in the environment, and then they're just going to watch where things are and to check that they're going to stay safe. And that's good. That's going to be such a valuable skill in the future as they start to be more independent. So obviously, staying a child doesn't last forever, and becoming a teenager. I think the fact that my school friends always knew I had an allergy, they just accepted it. So anyone new who came into the group, into the class, into, you know, the friendship group, it was also normal. Everyone else knew that I had an allergy. And then if we wanted to go somewhere, people would just check with me, it's okay. Or as I got older, actually, and, you know, my friends and I started going out a bit later in the evening or doing different things without our parents, they would just tell me, okay, you choose where to eat. And they still do, because I know my allergies best. And they're quite happy. I mean, if they can eat anything, they'll just make a request. If they don't feel like something, then they just tell me and I take that into consideration. It's just, you know, like organizing a dinner, really easy. I think also one of the things my parents did when I was a teenager, actually, I remember, and I still get them now, actually, my grandma and my mum, but my mum especially, there were always newspaper cutouts for me I mean, this was to do with, you know, peanut allergy cures, and I've been getting those cut newspaper cutouts for, I think, the last 20 years. I still get them, actually. I found one in my room when I went home to visit the other week. That was quite funny. And my mum would also, you know, show me the magazine stories and the newspaper cutouts of some of the horror stories or the near horror stories, you know, the deaths because of cross-contamination. Or there was one, actually, I particularly remember was of a lady who had kissed her husband or her boyfriend and he had eaten something that she was allergic to, and then she'd gone into anaphylactic shock. And my mum would just leave these stories for me on my bed as a teenager, or she, you know, if I went down to the dining room or the living room, she'd just show me that what she'd found in this local newspaper or magazine. And I mean, I think they made an impact. I mean, they must have done, because I still remember them today. And this one about, you know, the husband kissing his wife, having eaten her allergen, I think really did stick with me, because it's one of the really strong memories I have. But it kind of kept in my memory subconsciously, because I only remember it or know to think about it now because I'm talking about this subject. But I think it had an impact when I was a teenager, a young teenager. I mean, I was probably about 13, 14 when my mum showed me this, maybe 15. And I went to an all-girls school, so there was some, you know, the worry of kissing boys at that age was not a huge worry for my parents. But my mum knew that I wasn't, you know, going to be a child my whole life. So it was part of my education of learning how to manage my allergy. And I think also my mum, I think she saw the story and was like, right, this is an opportunity. So she gave it to me. And sometimes, and I'm sure any of you parents know, if you've got any teenagers, of, you know, whether they've got allergies or not, they're not going to listen to you all the time, nor do they want to listen most of the time. And I was probably no different. So my mum would just leave these articles lying around. And I think sometimes when it comes from a third party, you're going to take more notice of it. And this must have really stuck with me, because it is something I'm aware of. It's something that I've always been aware of. So my boyfriends, and I haven't had that many, but when I have a boyfriend, or if there is someone I'm interested in, I'm always upfront and honest about the fact I have an allergy. And I try and show them before they really, I try and show them as they're getting to know me, how I deal with it, because then they can learn through my actions rather than just me saying it. And I think, like my mum did with this story, the action of showing it is much more, it's going to resonate more strongly, because I go through, like you do, very normal actions of going food shopping or, you know, going to the local corner shop to get a snack. But then there's an extra added thing that people are going to see of picking up a chocolate bar. It's that I'm going to check the back of the packet for the ingredients, whereas someone else wouldn't. They wouldn't think. And I think that stopping and thinking, some people are going to be like, huh, that's really interesting. Like, why are you doing it? And that is a perfect opening for talking about allergies. So that's how I kind of dealt with it as a teenager. And it's a normal part of my life. I mean, there were times that I was a bit miserable that I couldn't have what everyone else was having. But it never lasted, and there was always something I could have. And whenever I got miserable, it was more because I was upset about something else, not the nuts. It was just that the nuts was the last thing that sort of tipped me over the edge. And it's more that I was feeling sorry for myself than I actually was upset that I couldn't have the dessert or something. So when it came to going to university, I went through the same process I went through at primary school, at secondary school, the process that my parents had gone through and taught me to do. So, and obviously university, you are living away from home. You're living with your first housemates who don't know you. And I think, again, like, one of the things my first set of housemates in university did when I was in halls, we went food shop. I think the first food shop we did, we went together to kind of bond and get to know where we work. We didn't know anyone. And yeah, we were going to be living together for a year. So I was upfront. I told people I have a nut allergy. So, you know, for me, I don't have airborne allergy. So I knew that I could be around nuts. But I just asked them to be very careful about how they used nut products in the kitchen so that I could be safe. And we all had our separate cooking utensils and things. So, and I usually did my washing up when I made it. So I tried to keep my stuff clean and tidy. I mean, it's not always possible. And you'll be hearing one story later on in the series where I talk about, you know, living with young men who are not house trained. And yeah, teaching them that they really do need to be house trained, especially when it came to nuts. I think that's one of the seventh or eighth episode. You'll be hearing a little story about that. But again, it's all about being upfront and honest. And you can keep telling people. And the way I did it was always, I was very calm, collected, just very blunt about what I needed, but always remembering that it's my responsibility. So it's making people aware so that they can just be tidy. And that's just a good life skill anyway. And just making them aware that they need to be slightly aware of where they put things or something, because if I didn't know, then that's where the danger is. And please don't kill me. So I wasn't overly, oh my God, you can't have nuts, you can't have this, you can't have that, because it's not my choice, it's their life. So, and also I'd grown up with nuts in the house and there was never a problem with that. My mum had a certain way of eating them and I knew exactly where they were in the house, and we didn't bake with nuts either, because my dad's slightly allergic to certain nuts. So yeah, we were quite careful. So I was used to having nuts around and I wasn't going to stop other people from eating them. Now, as an adult, and my boyfriend and I live together, now we have a nut-free home, because, and also I do most of the cooking anyway, so I'm not going to cook with nuts. I know he loves Brazil nuts and like chocolate-coated peanuts and pistachio ice cream. He loves it all, but he's fine with us having a nut-free home because, well, I'm going to be doing most of the cooking. I can't cook with it. And it's just safer. And I've made that request when we start live together, because this is my one safe space. And because it's my home, I can, you know, make that decision with my significant other. And that's okay. Everywhere else is not nut free. And that's fine. My parents' house has never been nut free and still isn't nut free. So, and that's fine. The training that I've had throughout my lifetime, I just remember to be careful wherever I am. And that's okay, because my allergy is my responsibility. And I think one of the things, I mentioned at the beginning, you know, I get a lot of allergy parents talking to me and worrying about the quality of their life that their children may or may not have. And I'm saying I've had a great quality of life. I've never had, or at least I feel I've never had a lower quality of life because I have an allergy. And I think part of that is because my parents always made it very normal. We never talked about what if. We didn't talk about cures, because I mean, there wasn't one. OIT was not a thing back when I was a child. And I think also I never asked, and my parents never asked, why me? My allergy was always accepted as just a biological fact about my body that I accepted and my parents accepted from the beginning. I mean, if my parents didn't accept it in the beginning, I never knew. And I think that is incredibly important, because I always knew to accept it. And I think this kept me happy, because I wasn't drowning myself in negative thoughts and focusing on all the bad things. I wasn't complaining about my life. Instead, it was all about how can we, or at least for my parents in the beginning, and then as a adult. It was all, how can we keep me included and be part of it, of everything that was going on, but also keep me safe. It was all about, you know, how can we do this? We're not going to do it the traditional way. So how can we do it differently, but get to the similar result or the same result? And I think that is really important. And I think that kind of problem solving, that positive way of looking at it, kept both me and my parents sane as I was growing up, because it also helped us feel in control of the allergy rather than the allergy controlling us. It wasn't about reacting, it was about planning. And now I think there are so many positive things that have happened because I have a very serious allergy to nuts. And I kind of want to talk about that as well, because, and I talk about allergy wins a little bit. For those of you who have ever come to the Allergy and Free From show, the last two shows that I've done, London and Liverpool, I've asked kids to come and write their allergy win and stick it up on the stand to celebrate. And there have been so many different allergy wins, you know, parents or making safe treats for their kids, or the kids have said, and they always have such this really cute and really like happy kind of like someone's done something for me smile. It's amazing to watch, and they're always so, they just want to share what's happened. And I think always reminding ourselves about these little wins, or even big wins. I mean, they don't have to be huge. It could just be you've gone to the corner shop and you actually managed to find something you can eat. I mean, it seems so trivial to someone who doesn't have an allergy, but I'm sure all of you know going to a corner shop where you've just, it's a last minute thing, and then actually being able to find something you can eat is a huge achievement. And you just go, thank you so much, corner shop. Finally, someone's got something I can eat on the run. It's amazing. So I think celebrating those is really important, and it helps you feel more in control and more like more able to deal with allergies. So I was reflecting on all of this, and I wanted to talk about the positives that I found from having an allergy and having to be allergy aware. And I think one of the things that has happened, and now sometimes I don't always feel this, but my friends always think I'm very organized. And I think this has started because I've always had to be organized about my allergy. So it's become a habit of being organized. I always need to have my EpiPens. I always need to have my Pyritin, my inhalers, just in case. I usually carry a hairband with me as well. Actually, that was one of the things my mum put in my medical kit, a clip or hairband in my medical kit, should I need it, because half the times when I have had nuts, I've always been throwing up. So if you've got long hair like I do, or even if you just got short hair, pinning it back just makes the whole experience a little less disgusting. But yeah, so being organized, and that I think does start to spread into other parts of your life, because if you've got to practice it on a regular basis, you can't help but not start doing it in other parts of your life. And I think that's a good thing. Now, when I was younger, I was always kind of labeled the mum of the class. So I think some of that is my personality innately. And then I think other parts of that is I had to be aware of my allergy, how I talked to people to tell them about it. I had to be aware of, you know, making sure I was safe. And I think that does, and maybe you other parents can see this in your own child, that a certain amount of maturity beyond their years that probably has come about because of having to deal with their allergies. The third thing is awareness, both socially and in their environment. Like I talked about being a helicopter mum, like it's good because you're aware of the environment. And as an allergy kid, as you get older, you really do need to be aware of your environment and how you can make sure you're safe. And this is important, really. But also being aware socially and environmentally is going to be good for, you know, when you're in the workplace, when you need to you just being a human, being aware of the social dynamics and, you know, what people are doing and how you can fit yourself into that or how people fit around you is a good thing. And I believe allergies taught me some of that, or dealing with my allergies taught me some of that. I think another one that's really important is I was forced to learn to be confident. And this, I mean, everybody wants to be a bit more confident in some area of their life. And I think that's, I think the allergies, you are forced to talk to people and explain your allergy all the time. Probably every day you've got to tell someone new, or at least every week you've got to tell someone new. And I think having the allergy, you can't shy away from it. You can't shy away from telling people. There's always a point where you go, nope, I have to tell this person, I have to say it. And I think this is really good, because like other things, when you get nervous or afraid, many times it's really easy to skulk away and kind of turn away and not do it, hide from it. But with allergies, you can't hide. You have to, because it's a life or death in a lot of cases, or for non-IgE related or for celiac disease, you're going to get very sick. So you have to force that confidence. And confidence really is all about practice. Again, all of it, the organization, the awareness, it's all about practice. So by practicing in one area of your life, I think it will translate into other areas. And I think that's happened with me. Also with the confidence, because you are always problem solving with your allergy, you are going to do this in other parts of your life. And I think the fact that you have to think outside of the box when it comes to allergies to enable you to have the experiences that other people think you should have, you know, the normal, traditional experiences of growing up in our world. In order to enable that, by keep allergy safe, you have to problem solve. I mean, think about it from this point of view. If you are allergic to eggs and dairy, can't have gluten or wheat, how are you going to make a birthday cake? Birthday cakes are so integral to our culture as a Western culture that eggs, dairy, and wheat flour are the main ingredients. But then you can't have them. How do you do it? You problem solve and you work out how to do it without. And now, I mean, if any of you have looked at my website, I've done it. And there are so many of you out there who have done it too, to cater for your children, but you're teaching your children to problem solve. And this is a skill that, as you probably know, you have to use every single day. It's going to be so valuable in the workplace too, because how do you do, like, what is a business? It's a thing, it's an entity that solves problems for people. That's how people sell products, because they've solved a problem. So another thing that I have a positive from learning to cook is that I've learned, a positive from having allergies, I've just said it now, is learning to cook, cooking skills. And I think you'll find with a lot of allergy kids, we get in the kitchen young. But that's because one of the ways that I know I feel confident, and probably you do if you're an allergy sufferer, and definitely a suggestion if you're an allergy parent wondering how you can help your children either get over an allergic reaction, some anxiety, is teaching them to cook. Because you can teach them to take control of their food, which is the thing that is both the cause of the anxiety, but also the solution to the anxiety. I started learning to cook, I think, when I was 10 years old. I learned to fry an egg. That was the first thing I learned to cook. And then from there, I started experimenting. I mean, I'm sure my parents will tell you that not all of it was great. But again, it's practice. It's learning to read a recipe. It's learning how to use ingredients. It's learning how to convert a recipe into something allergy safe. And again, you've used your problem solving. You've gained confidence. You've, you know, been organized. You've learned a skill. And that is good. Because by learning to cook, not only are you're going to know that your children can look after themselves, it's going to be something they need at university. And it's also a way that is a really great way to show people, when you do have to tell people about allergies, that it's really easy to cook and survive without all these allergens. Because people who don't have allergies, as I'm sure you're aware, are like, I think the question I have a lot when I tell people my allergies and intolerances, so peanuts, all tree nuts, gluten, and now I think dairy, they're like, well, what do you eat? And I'm like, there's plenty of things I eat. I mean, meat, vegetables, fruit, and then they see me eating like cake and things. Usually I've made it because, you know, then I know it's safe. But then I just feed it to them as well, because who says no to cake? Come on, nobody says no. And then they ask for more. And no one, like, I've made cake for friends' birthdays, and I'm the only one in the room of like 20 to 40 people who have an allergy. But everyone's eating my allergy safe cake. So, and no one knows the difference. And that's good. So cooking skills can not only help you feel more confident with your allergies, not only will help you teach your child to be confident with their allergies, it will teach them a skill. It will also bring them together with their friends, because food is such an integral part of our society that, you know, sharing a meal with someone is a great way to get to know them. And especially when your kids are going off to university, that's a great way to bring people together. I know that I think once a week my housemates and I did try and sit down to a meal together, or I think we had something like that. Yeah, in my second year, I think we did. And one person would cook each time, and they'd always make it safe for me. They'd always make sure that they knew what I was allergic to, and then they would check with me with the ingredients. And that's great. Cooking brought us together. I taught people how to manage allergies so that when they go off into the world, they're going to be more aware in the future as well, because they're probably going to encounter people with allergies. And my last major positive from having an allergy is that I've started Eat Allergy Safe. I've met all of you. I've started this podcast. Like, we've built a community. I think that's amazing. And that's all come out of me having an allergy, in a way. Like, I wouldn't have started this had I not had an allergy, if I hadn't had a serious reaction and had to get over it when I was 16. And I haven't talked about my allergic reaction, because I've talked about it before. Maybe I'll do another post on it in another time. But this blog, this podcast, like, would never have happened. And I think, and you'll hear from some of the allergy kids actually, that they've started some amazing things, all to help people with allergies. And it's come about because they have allergies. And that's, I think, a really great thing. There are so many opportunities that arise. There are so many things and projects and good works that you can do in the allergy community, and there's so many positives that you can always celebrate. And I think this is a way that we can be more confident, we can, you know, battle any anxiety and conquer it by celebrating and recognizing that there are so many positives when it comes to allergies. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget that over the next 8 weeks, over September and October, I'll be talking to lots of allergy kids of all ages about what they think it's like having allergies. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, please get in contact with me through the eatallergysafe.com contact page. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear any suggestions. And if you want to share your story, your allergy story, whether you're anaphylaxis, non-IgE allergies, intolerances, celiac disease, IBS, low FODMAP diet, like whatever, I want to hear from you. I want to share your allergy wins, your positives from having this journey in allergies and free from. Because I mean, I'm hoping that this is the reason you've plugged into this podcast, is you want to hear people's stories and you want to learn from people's challenges and how they've overcome it. So if you have a story, if you've overcome a challenge, big or small, I want to hear about it and I would love you to share it on the podcast. The way you can get in contact with me is by email me directly with admin@eatallergysafe.com or go to the eatallergysafe.com website and go through the contact page and you'll email me through there. Just tell me a little bit about yourself, your story, and yeah, we can organize an interview and get your podcast episode up. That would be fantastic. Thank you so much. So also, until the 30th of September, I am running the first giveaway on the podcast, which is super exciting. And I have, this was from episode 41, which published at the beginning of August. So it's a 2-month giveaway. And I have a load of books about the real causes of allergies. How can you learn to manage your allergies, get rid of some of your allergies? And this talks about eczema and asthma. And I share my story of how I got rid of my eczema on it, which I actually followed the stuff in the instructions in the book without even realizing it, because I did it about 4 years before I met Peter Alderman and talked to Dr. Thomas Bonner, who wrote this book. So please have a listen to eatallergysafe.com/episode41. That's the number 41. That's the link. So episode 41 with Peter Alderman and Dr. Thomas Bonner. At the end, there is instructions on how you could get your hands on a copy of their book and some allergy-free detergents. And I've read the book. It's going to be great. I think it's really interesting. It's full of science, which I think is fascinating, learning to understand actually why our body has an allergy and what's happening. So go and listen to episode 41. I highly recommend it. It's live from the allergy show as well, which is exciting. And then go to the show notes page, eatallergysafe.com/episode and the number 41 to leave your answer. So that is it for today. And just before we go, I'd like to thank today's episode sponsor, which is allergytranslation.com. And allergytranslation.com provides allergy travelers with translation cards to help you bridge the communication barrier while you're traveling. So as we were talking about, we always need to tell people that sometimes we don't have the same language. And allergytranslation.com was actually founded, designed, and put up and, you know, made by Kyle Dine, who is a multiple severe allergy sufferer. He was an allergy kid, he was an allergy teen, now he's an allergy adult and an allergy advocate. So you can order credit-sized printouts to talk about your food allergies, and there are 43 languages available. Also, if you have a long list of food allergies, don't worry, because you can choose from over 200 foods to include in your customized part. And the best bit is that it's available online right after your purchase, so you can just print and go. It is $8 Canadian per card, which is roughly £6, I think. I've bought one already. I had an Italian card made, and it was incredibly helpful when I was in Italy and I needed to communicate about my allergy. So make sure you visit www.allergytranslation.com today to get your card and have a look. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to speaking with you next week. Make sure you visit the episode 41 to see how you could win. And the deadline is the 30th of September. So remember, allergies aren't about missing out. They're about doing things differently. Bye-bye for now.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.